अच्छा
ओके
जस्ट अ सेकेंड, टेल मी इफ यू कैन हियर मी बेटर नाउ। ओके या
या मच बेटर,
इज
थोड़ा सा ना खाली
कूल।
फोन हिलाओ मत। हाँ
हाँ ठीक है, अब नहीं हिलाऊंगी।
हाय नब,
हाय हर्ष, हाउ आर यू डूइंग टुडे?
सो आई वाज डूइंग गुड, बट देन आई न्यू दैट वी हैड टू रिकॉर्ड दिस पॉडकास्ट एंड आई एंड वी हैड टू टॉक अबाउट एंग्जायटी, राइट? आई रियलाइज दैट आई कैन नॉट टॉक अबाउट एंग्जायटी अंटिल एंड अनलेस आई एम एंग्शियस, सो आई हैड टू रिविजिट सम मेमोरीज, वॉच थिंग्स व्हिच आई नो विल मेक मी एंग्शियस. And after you have dealt with anxiety for some time, you identify your triggers. I went
Right.
and visited my triggers. I don't know why I do this to myself.
You had to do this, but my anxiety knows me so well that I'm anxious already because we are recording a podcast on anxiety. I didn't have to revisit anything, thankfully. It was already there.
Because we know what's going to come forward yahan pe.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the beautiful thing. Talking about anxiety, my one scare is ki, what if I don't represent it as beautifully as I know it? Because I have spent so much time with it, I understand my anxiety so well, but I can't seem to talk about it when I am not anxious because there's just this memory block ki
Yeah, I get
उस
it.
टाइम पे जो होता है ना, इट्स समवेयर जस्ट विद इन दैट टाइम एंड यू डोंट, मतलब इफ आई यू रिमेम्बर दैट इट हैपेंड
Don't feel
अनफोल्ड.
the same clarity. It's like, you
एग्जैक्टली
know, watching Japanese porn and watching American porn. Blurred and 4K.
वेरी नाइस एग्जाम्पल, वेरी वेरी नाइस एग्जाम्पल. सो आई जस्ट वॉन्ट टू सेट एक्सपेक्टेशंस क्लियर कि वाइल वी आर रिकॉर्डिंग दिस, I know that we are going to miss out a lot many points which will not cater to every person, but I just want to keep it a little generic and a little centered to ourselves because for me, I think everyone's anxiety is a little different. What I experience might not be the same as what you do, even though the end result of it would be the same.
Exactly. The end result is that at the end of the day, we will be lying in our beds feeling completely numb and thinking that how did this all happen? That is the same part for everyone, no matter how we reach over there.
So anxiety for me, it has been around 6 years or 7 years for me since I've acknowledged the presence of anxiety in my life. And
Okay.
ever since it's a familiar feeling, okay? Happiness, it comes in different flavors. Like if I'm happy at one point, being happy at some other point might be a little different for me.
Happiness is something that is, you can get happy at a small thing, you can get happy at a bigger thing, or maybe sometimes something good is happening and you won't feel happy at all. That's where your anxiety kicks
And not just that, agar happiness ho raha hai na, so happiness has to, there has to be a substantial amount of joy from one particular event for me to call it happiness. Ki, haan, this is just, I'm just enjoying, oh, I feel happy. Wo ek build up
Right.
hua. Anxiety is not the same. Unfortunately, anxiety is a bitch. Let's say something as small as if I'm going to college or मेरे कॉलेज कोई पेन रखा था जिसका रिफिल लीक हो गया, that something that small could trigger a huge fucking storm within me. And while I understand it's not worth it, it's just there. What the fuck do I do about it then? It's not tension.
You cannot do anything about it. The main thing is that at the end of the day, you just have to accept your own anxiety. You need to come to terms with it that, yeah, it's just gonna be there always, forever with you. As soon as you do that, you will start feeling a little less stressful and anxious.
Yes, and that's a very beautiful point that you have said. You have to understand that you have to live with it. And it's so sad that the only feeling that becomes very certain is anxiety. Sadness is not certain. Happiness is not certain. Like, aaj if I'm happy or aaj if I'm sad, it's not necessarily that I'll be sad tomorrow as well. But anxiety, while it's very often correlated with sadness, it is so different. It is so much more different. Because if I am feeling anxious, I could be feeling happy and I could be anxious.
That is so true. It's something that coexists with other feelings. You can be happy and anxious. You can be sad and anxious. You can be excited and anxious. So it's like always there. It's something that will always coexist with your other feelings because you just cannot let it go.
Right, and I think anxiety slowly spreads through a bunch of events as well, where if I have particular memories in my life or in my mind, it sort of manifests itself in them as well. Or if there are particular events that has been traumatic to me, they will just stay, that anxiety will manifest in itself as a whole over there. It will reside in that part of my brain. So whenever I am in a
Yeah.
familiar situation that triggers even something close to that memory, that whole fucking block of anxiety will come and sort of start eating me. It's like inside me, there is a huge metal room and 10 bullets have been fired off and they are just ricocheting off of each wall and just bouncing around. And I don't know what the fuck is happening. And I'm like, okay, please stop, please stop. But it's not stopping because there is no metal room, there is no bullet. But still, it feels so claustrophobic. Ki, oh my God, just stop. I don't know what's happening to me. Tension and worrying is different because it's all in your head. It's somewhere in your head and it's somewhere logical. Ki, okay, I can take some time out. I can figuratively look at how things are unfolding and what's making me tense. And I can just solve it out. It's like a math problem. But when it's anxiety, it's
Right.
unreasonable. It can be as unreasonable as anything.
So, what do you feel, Harsh, on a physical level when you're anxious? This is all going inside your head mentally. How do you project it outwards? Or do you even do it? Or do you keep pretending that you are fine?
At times, you obviously try to have that shield, no?
What I do is I always try to pretend that it's not there.
Hmm.
But at the end, it turns out very disastrous because I end up having an anxiety attack at the end of the day because I kept it all in at that time. So that I think somewhere I should not be doing that, that we should not be pretending. Maybe we should be, reaching out. Maybe we should be telling others that I'm having anxiety and I need a break from this.
But it's very difficult because one, anxiety is a very misunderstood concept. In fact, there might be some people who are listening to it right now and they do not relate to it. Maybe they have not felt anxiety, they have not educated themselves on how it works, or they have been just lucky enough to not be in the circumstances. But most of the time, you have to get shit done. You can't afford to let anxiety do that to you. Because if I'm at office and if I have some work that I have to do, I cannot let that unreasonable storm or whatever that's brewing up inside of me sabotage the work that I have going on. And that's just generalized day-to-day anxiety. So tell me, how long have you known anxiety?
I think I have been anxious since 10 years, but I think I didn't know the right term for it earlier.
Hmm.
I just used to think I stress too much, I worry too much, I overthink everything. But then I think since a few years, I have realized that, yeah, this is anxiety. This is now a part of me, and I have got to deal with it on a day-to-day basis.
Have you identified some general triggers?
I think first, the foremost one is being social,
Mm-hmm.
okay? So, like, if I have to go in a party or, in a big event or something that is very important to me, that's the first thing. That is the first moment that I start feeling anxious. And it hits me like really hard whenever something social is about to happen.
When you are with people, there is this uncertainty that tells you that you're not good enough.
So when it comes to being good enough, I think this is something that has been a part of me. Since I have had a mind of my own, I have always felt that I am not good enough. I am very easily replaceable in people's life. So that is one of my major triggers. When I'm close to people, when I'm really close to someone, if I observe even a slight change of behavior in them, like for example, if I'm talking to someone 24/7, and let's say it gets to 22 hours per day or 23 hours per day, my anxiety will be triggered majorly. Like, why this change? Why this small change? It is possible that that person might be a little busy than they used to be. They might not be free for me, but that does a lot of things for my anxiety.
And I just want to point out because I know you, right? And I think we are aware that this is not healthy from our point as well. And it puts up a lot of baggage on the other person because there is codependency.
I think that the other person's reaction comes in phases. First of all, when you tell them this, they will feel really guilty for putting you through this. It's not their fault, though, that we are going through this, but they do feel really guilty. After some time, they will start feeling irritated that, you know, it's not my fault, it's not their fault that you are going through this. They are just trying to be there for us as much as they can be, and maybe more. Like, they do try more when you open up to them. And then after the irritation phase comes the ghosting and the distant part. You know, not all people can deal with anxious people. They will rather prefer that they distance themselves rather than being there for you. This is something that I've observed over the span of 10 years.
It was so nicely put. And to add on to this is when the second phase happens, you feel like you were very hesitant about going into phase one and you warned them.
Yeah, so you will stop opening up to the next person.
Exactly.
You might not even like you will build so many walls between your real personality and the other person that you know, even if the other person is genuine and they will try to climb those walls, they might not be able to because you have been hurt enough and now you won't be able to ever open up to that level again to someone. It's not their fault, like it's not even the first person's fault or the second person's fault, but it's just something that, you know, happens with a lot of us.
I think people have to educate themselves more and more about it, so that if let's say if a person is going to tell you that, hey, I have some issues, and if you're willing to listen to them, then you have to be a little less judgmental. But adding on to it, as you said, there are just walls, right? You just put up so many walls between the real
Right.
person that you are and the personality. It puts us in a lot of concern with the second person that you meet. Because even if the second person falls in love with you, there's always this doubt that this person does not love the real me. He or she loves the personality that I've built up over the years. And I'm just so scared that if they actually ever see the real person that I am, they might not like it. And I don't know how long I can keep these walls, how long I can hold these walls up in front of this person. Because I really admire them and I really like them. The affection that they show me, I want to reciprocate them by being real.
You know, that's a very good point that you have put forward. I would just like to add one more thing to your point, that feeling hatred towards your own self, because you are basically lying to them emotionally, you are cheating on them emotionally, because you are not showing your real side to them. And you know, that results in a lot of self-loathing and self-doubt, that you know, what if someday you suddenly decide to open up to this person and you know, they liked your fake personality so much that they don't like your real personality. What happens then? So it's like a circle. You will start feeling anxious because of this. So even when you're happy with the other person, you're content with the other person, somewhere in the back of your mind, it will keep going that what happens next? So what if I show my real side to them and then what happens? So anxiety always, you know, it's like a remote control. It keeps a tab on your brain all the time.
And I want to just add up another point wahan pe. So while we are talking from the perspective of a person who is clingy, and if they see a change in the other person's behavior, it triggers them a little and it starts off that chain of events. I also want to talk from a perspective of a person, and I've been this, where the other person is the clingy one, and because of my anxiety, I have been the distant one. And that triggers a lot more guilt than being the first kind does, because I want to do it. I want to be there. I want to be the best person that I am. And this has happened to me so many times now, where I want to be there for you. And I'm making conscious efforts,
Right.
but even the smallest of efforts take so much from me. It's just that I have so many issues deep down within me that I am not being able to. That even to talk to catch up to a friend is actually scheduling a meeting invite with them for me. Just hey, that you know, if I want to just catch up on you, I have to ask you if you're free that particular day, and then I have to mentally prepare myself to go ahead and talk to you. That there is a reason why I don't ask people to come to me and open up about their issues, because I know I am not so much available that I will be able to actively invest in what your problems are and come up with a good or better solution, or just be a little empathetic towards you, because even being empathetic takes a lot of energy. Or in general, that there are so many things that you could say that could trigger something within myself, and I do not want to make it about myself when you're coming and talk to me.
I would just like to add another point to this, that is uncertainty. You know, uncertainty about what's going to happen next day, or you know, next week, or when you're going to meet your friend, and when you are planning to be there for them, what happens when you yourself are feeling anxious on that particular day?
Right. And that is so true, because there is this other personality of you that takes over sometimes. That sometimes you do not have the strength to put up that facade or put up that persona which feels okay to others. And sometimes
Right.
it's just that dull person who you know is going to ruin the thing for everyone, and who's not even going to let you enjoy it. And instead of enjoying it, it's going to make you feel more and more miserable. So at that time, you just need some time alone with yourself. Like, just be in your
Exactly.
own company and be miserable. The right amount of miserable.
Exactly.
The misery that you are familiar and accustomed to. कि हाँ, ये मेरे को पता है, ये मेरे पास आ चुका है. And now I can just talk and I can just listen to it and I can just be like, हाँ ब्रो बता, आज क्यों आया है? आज आज ऐसी
So,
कौन सी दास्तान सुनानी है?
you know, I would just like to talk about something. There are two kinds of anxiety.
हुँ.
I'm just gonna name it. ठीक है. One is comfortable anxiety, you know, that you know these are your triggers, these are things that upset you, and these are the things that will make you anxious. You try to avoid them as much as possible, but eventually, like, you cannot avoid them forever. It happens. But then somewhere in your subconscious, you're used to it. Because you have experienced this before, so no. So you know, you don't feel as attacked and vulnerable as you will normally do. Because you have seen this before, you have experienced this before, so you are not as anxious as you should be. ठीक है? This is the first type, the comfortable anxiety. Then the other kind is the uncomfortable one, the surprising one, which just hits you right in the face. That you won't know, you won't even know that this was a trigger for you until it happens. And then everything comes crumbling down.
Yes. And also, the uncomfortable anxiety part is this point which has happened to you a very few times, and you have not
Yeah.
yet familiarized yourself with it, or there is a
And you
point.
are still not okay with it. And you still, when you think about it, you start feeling anxious all over again.
It's so sad.
Because that was something so huge and terrible that you still cannot, come to terms with it that this even happened.
The worst part is that when you are listening to this, and when like listening to you talk about it, actually reminds of those things. Ki haan, okay, this is
Yeah,
one
I
of
know, and I'm really sorry for that, Harsh, but like, you know, I just thought that I should be putting this point forward because it happens with a lot of us.
I think more and more of anxieties, as you said, no, ki familiar position or there's this familiar scenario. There are two in general. One is phobia or fear, where let's say you are aware that this particular scenario or this particular environment would trigger it, where let's say people are scared of heights. So when they actually are
Right.
on a terrace and they start getting closer to the edge, it starts just, you know, their heartbeat starts rising and it just triggers wahan pe. And there is a phobia of animals, insects, or whatnot, like hundreds of things. And
Yeah.
some of it can be traced back to one event or the other in your childhood, and some of them do not have any background or sustainable reason for it.
Right.
But then, even though you're familiar with these are uncomfortable anxiety because you do not feel comfortable while being here.
Somewhere, every comfortable anxiety is an uncomfortable one, you know, just the level differs.
Yeah, exactly. And the second is PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder, if I'm not wrong. So
Yeah, that's the correct term.
it's so bad because this is something that takes a lot of time and just years of constant acceptance that yes, it happened to me and yes, I'm okay with it. And it's
You know, people, a lot of people I've heard people say time heals everything. But I actually think it's a very false and misleading statement because it doesn't. It doesn't do shit. Time doesn't do shit. You will always remember that fucking incident as it is, as it happened. And it will always trigger you. And even if something familiar happens, your whole personality, your whole, idea of being you, that will come crumbling down. So, that whole facade that time heals everything, it's bullshit.
So what I feel is it does, okay, but in a very in not the generic term. I kind of agree with you and disagree with you, because the generic statement that they have said about time healing is bullshit, agreeing, but it's about a specific, it's not going to be the same for everyone. It's not like
It's about the acceptance part that,
exactly.
yeah, you start to move on a little, but it doesn't happen completely. Like, you can never move on from something so drastic. It will always be there. It will always be a part that is pulling you down.
I think it's also that when, so that acceptance comes with time, but unfortunately, time is not the only factor with it, because there have to be incidents where you come across the same situation and it does not happen to you. So your brain starts to understand ki, okay, there is a scenario or there is a storyline involved somewhere that exists where this particular situation will not be repeated. And that's sort of helps a little, but it's a process. That's all I can say. It's a huge process.
It's a huge and it's at the end of the day a very tiring process. It's just something that you have to deal with daily.
It drains you down, and it's not the same for everyone. It has to be
Exactly.
very tailor-made. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like there is a templated standard solution to it, but it is. At the end of the day, the start point and the end point of all of it is same. You just start feeling restless, agitated, and it ends with you just feeling comfortable with the presence of it. And you know how that happens? When you stop fighting it and you start listening to it. Because what is it trying to say? What is the anxiety trying to tell you?
Majorly that, be very, very is the right pronunciation,
Very.
right? Be wary of every person, every situation, everything. That's what your anxiety is trying to tell you at the end of the day.
Or I mean that's for you, but then there are other folks. Like for me, I think one of it would be that there are so many people who are looking up to me, and I just don't want them to feel. I just don't damage them.
Yeah, so that's not true in my case because no one looks up to me. I'm a complete failure. So
It feels weird when someone comes up to you and tells you, "Hey, I want to be like you," or how can I be someone like you? And it's just that, dude, do not. Like, I don't know.
Dude, what are you talking about? You don't know the half of it.
Like, I became what I am unintentionally. Do you th and why do you want to intentionally come up and be this?
Like, why do you want to be intentionally be the fucked up me that I am?
But then that's also a very beautiful side of it, isn't it? Because you fail to see the good in you, and others do, and they envy it. Where someone looks up to you and they're like, "Hey, this person is this, like this person is this," and that is a side of me that actually exists somewhere. But just this other side of me has taken over so much that I refuse to look at it.
So, being an anxiety prone person that I have two reactions to when someone compliments me or tells me something good about me. Some days I will believe it with the bottom of my heart. I will believe it and I will be overwhelmed by the amount of politeness that this person has showed to me. Theek hai? Then there will be this other day where I will laugh on their face. I don't believe them. So. It just keeps fluctuating me. I just keep fluctuating between both these personalities on random days.
It's not about who it is coming from.
Yeah, it's not. It can come from a complete stranger, and I would be so overwhelmed by their compliment that I would start crying.
But then that's another point where it's even being anxiety prone, if it's not that often, it will feel better than it does when it's
Yeah, I
very
agree somewhere.
constant. I think that is why there are memes about, or there's a general notion that guys, if you call a guy cute or if you compliment a guy in one way or the other, he'll remember for a longer run. Because if there's this complete culture built around where you don't compliment a guy enough, because it's like it's either considered gay, and I don't know how that's a wrong thing, but yeah, it's like, hey, that's gay. It's like no homo. And the disrespect is always louder than the appreciation. There is always going to be more agreement to the disrespect because the appreciation is never public. The appreciation is always private. If one person is
Right.
coming up and telling that, hey, you suck, 10 other people who are listening to it, maybe four of them agree to it. But if the rest six of them, they come to you and individually tell you that, hey, you know what, you're amazing, it won't matter as much
Right.
because five people in unison agreed that you suck. And that's just somewhere where
Exactly.
your self-worth takes a hit because of what other people think of you.
I have never related more to a point than I'm doing to your point right now. Can I give you a standing ovation?
I think if you're listening to this, give me a standing ovation, please. One additional point यहाँ पे that I want to add, which I think deserves a separate podcast, is the relation of anxiety and loneliness.
Okay. I have been struck by a lot of emotions right now.
With loneliness, one thing that I have understood is the most courageous thing that you can ever do is accept that you're lonely. Because that's a very sad realization. Loneliness comes from two things, right? If your loneliness is about people, it's different and it's much easily curable than the other point. I'm not trying to invalidate anyone's loneliness, but I'm just saying, as compared to the other one where your loneliness is about yourself, where you are
Right.
unsatisfied with the person that you are, and you just don't like the company of yourself, or you just feel like there is no company of yourself. That when you sit alone, you don't feel like this internal self talking back to you. You just sit there. It's a one-dimensional conversation where you try to talk to yourself, but there's no one answering back. That is such a helpless feeling because you don't know, you don't, and that is.
Mind numbing, let's just put it like that.
Yeah. Mind numbing.
You feel completely unnerved that what is happening to me right now? How can this even happen?
So let's take some time out and let's not trigger more people than we already have. And let's talk about how the anxiety is for you and what you do to cope with it. Matlab, when it's happening in real time, what the fuck do you do to control it? The healthy and the unhealthy way.
Okay, so first of all, I would like to point out one thing that anxiety cannot be controlled. If you try to control your anxiety, it will become more uncontrollable. So first of all, my unhealthy way is that I don't cope with it. I
Okay.
just let it be. I just let it happen at once. Whatever I'm feeling at the moment, like an anxiety attack happens, I feel breathless. I'm shivering. Everything is happening at the same time. So I just let it happen. I cry, I cry, I cry, I cry for hours. And then somewhere I start feeling tired and I just sleep. So that's my unhealthy way of coping with anxiety. The healthy way I would say is that I run. I go on runs in the morning, in the evening, whenever I'm feeling a lot anxious. And I just put all my energy in that run. I just put my headphones on, listen to songs, whatever I'm feeling at the moment, and run. So that somehow makes me feel better. What are
Nice.
your ways, though?
Oh, this is going to take long. So the unhealthy are a few things that I cannot say on the podcast.
Okay.
And so I think it's stress eating or not eating at all. It's disconnecting too much or
Right, connecting
as
too much.
much.
It's either the, black and white situation. There's no gray, basically, for
Exactly.
you.
Exactly. It's just extremes. And the most unhealthy part here is that I cannot cry. Okay. I can't. You know, so much has happened in the last week. Like so much, and yet I have not been able to
Right.
cry. एंड आई नीड टू, बट हो ही नहीं रहा. मैं क्या करूं, आई एम वॉचिंग मूवीज दैट मेक मी एंड आई एम नॉट प्राउड ऑफ इट, बट आई वॉन्ट टू फकिंग क्राई. इट्स नॉट हैपनिंग.
Yeah,
सो
that does help you, you know. Sorry.
दैट्स अनदर अनहेल्दी दैट आई कांट क्राई. सो इट जस्ट एड्स
Okay,
अप.
what are the healthy mechanisms then?
Oh, I was not done with unhealthy, but theek hai, I think it's better that
Oh,
we, I think it's better that we move to
don't
healthy.
people need to know more about your unhealthy mechanisms and adapt to them.
Yes, please don't. So I do have a lot of healthy ones as well. I keep a tab of the things that I have to do, the tasks that I have to get accomplished, and I invest my all into it. All, even if it stresses me out, or even, but because at the end of the day, I will feel productive. I'll feel that I didn't let my
Right.
anxiety waste my day. I will compulsively go do the best things. I'll eat right. I'll take my meals on time, even if it's something that I don't want to do sometime, but I will, because अंदर तो जाएगा ना, मतलब just like
Right.
fucking
I
force it
get the
through
feeling.
the esophagus. And so yeah, and running helps a lot. I have no clue how. Just like put some music on and run, and it helps you in energizing a little. And just sit comfortably and have a conversation with your own anxiety and try to, logically think it through. Like if your anxiety
Right.
tells you that, hey, you're not good enough, then there's another part who tells you, hey, you're fucking amazing. So listen to the part that says that you're fucking amazing. And another good thing that I recently started is three good things. So every day before sleeping, I look back at the day and I think of three good things that happened to me throughout the day, or three good things that I did throughout the day. That's one
That's very nice.
that's very helpful too.
I will try that too.
Yes, please do. And another is every day after waking up, I try to think of how I'm going to spend that day. So on days where I know that I'm doing bad, I'll just tell
Right.
myself that today you have to survive. So that at the end of the day, when I feel like I have not done enough, I just look back and say that the goal for the day was to just survive.
Right. Then there are days when you don't even feel like waking up, when you just want to lie in the bed all day.
Yes. And when that happens, no, when you just start your day by telling yourself how you want to feel, it is beautiful. Because let's say I say that, I want to feel accomplished, right? And if some task comes up in front of me, I have that vision in my head that, hey, will this come in the way of how I wanted to experience this day? Then let's say if a friend invites you
Right.
out for an outing and you know that it's going to waste your time. So, but you wanted to
Right.
feel accomplished, right? Or let's say if an old friend calls you and he asks you to catch up, and you've been planning to
Right.
catch up for a long time, you will feel accomplished that I finally did that task. So
That's true.
you just align your day ka pura goals to that one, and you live your life. That helps.
Hold up.